on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. Victoria Jacobson swings by to prepare us for high school girls volleyball, cross country, and the start of football, which, if you can believe it, is next week. I'll close with notes on the Fever, the newly released NBA schedule, NFL football, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette is here to help us get started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's preview time for you guys, and you've been hard at work preparing our community for the upcoming high school season. Let's start with volleyball. What are some things listeners should know heading in?
This isn't going to come as a surprise to anybody. Carroll Volleyball is coming off a Class 4A state championship. If you haven't thought about that in a little bit, you haven't really looked at the roster, you might be surprised at the fact that truly almost everybody is back this year. I think there was one senior last year on Carroll's roster. All of the biggest contributors to last year's state championship are back. They're a year older. Some of those players were freshmen last year, and so we should see even more growth and maturity from them. And there's at least one major player who was kind of limited by injury last year who should be added back into the mix. So if anything, you can come up with a really strong case for Carroll being even stronger this year than they were last year, which is kind of scary news for the rest of the state. Some other teams to think about: Belmont moved up to 4A last year after going to the Class 3A state championship 3 years in a row. A little bit of a reloading year for Belmont because they lost so many seniors off of the 2023 squad. They were led by it last year by Mary Kate Schumann and Alyssa Gumbel. Those two players are now seniors and they now have a supporting cast with more experience. So Belmont should be, again, if anything, better than last year. Angola reached the Class 3A state finals last year for the very first time. They've lost Ava Harris, but her sister Maya Harris, still there. She is a year away from going off to play at Illinois, still a very strong player. And again, there are some young players who contributed to that team last year who should be around for another round. So just a lot of teams that are, if anything, a little bit stronger this time around. One thing that I'm really looking forward to is on, I believe it is the 27th, that's a Wednesday, Carroll is going to host volleyball for an outdoor volleyball match on the football field, kind of like what Nebraska did a couple of years ago. So I think that it's a really exciting time for volleyball here in the Fort Wayne area, and we should have a lot of teams that are really going to be among the top players in the state.
Cross country is also set to begin. What can we expect there?
We have a returning state champ in Concordia's Mallory Weller. Concordia is another one of these teams. They have been the runners-up each of the last 2 years, and the band's back together. So this is going to be, hopefully, another really strong year for the Concordia girls, to the extent where they could be neck and neck with Carmel to see who is the best team in the state. Carmel obviously has depth that having a student body of 5,000 plus can give you. And Concordia is, you know, a smaller private school, but they still have an admirable amount of depth there. So we're excited to see how they do. Once again, Homestead, very, very strong. They didn't have a huge front runner last year, but they had such a strong pack with all of their scores finishing. I believe it was between like 40th and 75th at the state finals. So once they start coming, there's just a rush of them. And so that could be the case again as well this year.
Last week, you caught us up on Carroll football. This week, you checked in with Snyder. It's their final season without a stadium to call their exclusive home. How are they feeling as the season approaches?
Yeah, so if you go over there, it is a massive construction site, and that construction site is taking up about half of what they usually use as their just grass practice field. So they're a little bit cramped. You'll go over there and you'll see a tackle sled just on a median, but they're doing what they can with a small space. But they are really excited to be able to watch the process of building the stadium every day. And they have a kind of an interesting situation where they're breaking in, you know, a new quarterback and everything. But they return almost the entirety of their offensive line and almost the entirety of their defensive line. And that's a pretty good way to start off. Those are areas where you really want to see experience. So they're feeling pretty good about how things are going, and I think they're getting ready for another successful year.
I spoke last week on how the Tin Caps roster was depleted from the Padres' activity at the trade deadline. How have they adapted to those changes?
Well, it's been a little bit rough lately. The Tin Caps are 3-7 in their last 10 and are now currently fourth in the Midwest League East. They were knocking on the door of second for a while there, so it has been a little bit of a rough go of it lately. But as you would expect in this situation, when you lose a lot of players to trades and then promotions, they did have a lot of new players come in and fill in for the guys who just got promoted. On Tuesday night, which was the series opener against West Michigan, right-hander Ian Koenig threw a career-high 7 strikeouts in 7 innings to give the Tin Caps a 6-1 win over West Michigan. Hopefully that'll get things rolling a little bit, open up the series on a high note.
Victoria Jacobson covering the wide range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thanks as always for dropping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Fever are 1-2 over the last week after an impressive 4-game winning streak, claiming victory over the Chicago Sky but falling to the Mercury and Wings. They're still 6th overall in the WNBA and 3rd in the Eastern Conference, just 3.5 games behind the first-place Liberty with 11 games left to play. A strong finish in the next month could get them back into the postseason, and anything goes from there. If they can get Caitlin Clark back with her familiar shooting form, the odds look even better. But they did manage to win the Commissioner's Cup earlier this season without her playing at 100%, so the talent that they have could make things interesting. The Fever will host the Washington Mystics Friday night at 7:30. That can be seen on the ION Network. And they'll hit the road for a Sunday matinee against the Connecticut Sun. Tip-off is set for 1. After that, they'll be able to rest up somewhat with no more games scheduled until next Friday. Meanwhile, the NBA schedule is out now, and while I don't get too excited about any schedule reveal, a few things caught my attention. For starters, here at home, the Pacers' first game will be Thursday, October 23rd, as they host the Oklahoma City Thunder in a rematch of the NBA Finals. Should be a fun game, though I have seen some people refer to it as Game 8, and I don't know about that one, guys. The other thing I'm excited about is the return of the NBA on NBC. I thought about adding a sting of the old theme song we all love, but John Tesh hasn't given me the rights. But I know you all heard it in your head too. Peacock announced it will be doing Monday NBA, which is interesting because for half of the season, these games will compete with Monday Night Football. For those of us who have no problem watching sports on multiple screens, this won't be too much of an issue. The first set of Peacock games will take place October 27th, with the Pistons hosting the Cavaliers followed by the Timberwolves playing the Nuggets. Assuming nobody gets hurt between now and then, the talent we'll get to see in both games is amazing. Great way to kick off the slate. The NBA season itself begins Tuesday, October 21st, with a doubleheader also on NBC. You heard the song again, didn't you? In baseball, the Cubs are still one of the wild card teams in the National League, but I've got my doubts about their ability to hold on to that much longer the way they've been playing, especially since I don't think the Brewers will ever lose another baseball game again. So I'm trying to find zen in the fact that all of the other division races are within 5.5 games. This opens the field to pretty much anyone. Maybe the Guardians stay hot and overtake the Tigers. Maybe the Mariners' bold trade deadline pays off and they relegate Houston to the wild card. Maybe the Mets find their rhythm and get back into the swing of things against Philly. All I know is I've seen bigger leads squandered later in the year, so truly anything can happen between now and the wild card round. The league did just announce this year's playoff calendar, and the wild card games will begin on September 30th. And in football, the Colts couldn't get it done against Baltimore last week, but hey, it's the preseason. That said, I am buying into the Shedeur Sanders hype in Cleveland. I'm not immune to being a football sicko this early. The Colts will host my beloved Packers on Saturday afternoon at 1 in the second preseason game of the campaign. Should have some fun with that. The regular season opens Thursday, September 4th. Colts begin play Sunday, September 7th, against the Miami Dolphins. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.